WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're getting crowded and cozy. We're open for business here.
Yeah.
People say to me in phase, why is it always so empty? I'm like, we do it at 8:30 in the morning.
Right.
And then it turns into like lunchtime because I'm rambling about Dave Grohl and and tell me about the eggs, deviled eggs.
What do you
love about them?
They're just good. I don't know. It's a part like finger food kind of thing. Again, I have a whole new appreciation.
They always sat in the sun and flies found them. And
I have a whole new appreciation having made them now.
Okay.
I know how hard they are to make and how much like muscle and effort that I have a whole new appreciation for it. And it actually pisses you off because it'll take you like 2 hours.
And it's gone.
And they're gone in like 10 minutes.
Gone.
And you're like, I didn't even get one. Damn, you know, so you have to like eat a couple like while you're working. But it's a labor of love, man.
Well, shrimp salad's coming this way,
fun.
But never macaroni or potato salad. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'm giving away Raven Scratch-Offs. People are getting their phones out, and if it says MD Lottery, you want a whole lot of money. I'm just saying. I learned that this week.
Right.
Also,
don't scream. Put it in your pocket. Walk out the door.
Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing. And Jiffy Lube Multicare. At some point, I'll have some things to show people, like my Fadley's jar of... this is crab meat, or this... What is this?
It says keep refrigerated.
It's an Annapolis candle. It's a candle. I thought it was crab meat. It looks like crab meat, but it's a candle.
I thought it was crab meat,
too. It says candle on it. Yep, there it is. So hold on.
That's funny. What does
it smell
like?
It smells like flowers.
Oh, yeah,
I
no,
like
that.
Yeah, no.
Would you want your joint to smell like old? Maybe the summertime you would.
That's an authentic used can.
Oh, recycled can.
So they're recycling the can for the candle.
That's good. Yep.
All right, so you.
Candle company,
so I love this Maryland crab. This is just funny.
Annapolis candle.
Awesome.
It smells like hibiscus.
It all makes sense.
It smells like hydrangeas. I'm not sure what it is.
So you asked about the smell.
Yes,
I do have a story about the
smell. I haven't introduced my guest. Can I do that?
Yes, please.
Can I promote my sponsors?
Then I'll
you
want to
talk about your business?
No. I'll tell you
Cole Roof and Gordian Energy.
I want to tell you the story about
Maryland Lottery, our friends at Window Nation and Jiffy Lube Multicare. We're at Fadley's. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, hosted by Bill Cole. And you say I don't get a chance to talk, and then you just took over. Give me a minute.
Well, I'm trying.
I'll go.
I'm working.
She's bringing me shrimp salad. I'll shut up. Jeff Ratneau is a, what are you? Real estate development.
Yes.
Site insight. You're a LinkedIn buddy of mine.
Yes.
That shows up in places. I don't know that I know you well. I was looking, no offense, to get David Bramble on the show. He was unavailable in some way. You jumped his LinkedIn and said, give this thing a chance. And I thought, well, this is a guy that could probably take a really intelligent take on, I'm giving you all of this land at the harbor. What would you do with it?
Right.
And
right.
What makes a good idea from a bad idea? So that's why you're here. You were on deviled eggs. What you finish up?
Not deviled eggs. You asked, like, would I want a candle that smells like Old Bay? Like, would you burn a candle that smells like, and so my only Old Bay smell story, well, now I probably have lots of them, but so the building next to where Cole Roofing sat was a giant warehouse, caught on fire, burned for 6 days, right? We had, like, fire trucks in our yard, like, keeping it on fire. In the building was Old Bay and paper. So for, like, a month, you know what it smells like when you buy steamed crabs in a brown paper bag and you take them home?
Yeah.
That is the exact smell that it was there for like a month. It was so crazy.
Did you
like
it want didn't crab smell like or smoke. Not want crab?
No, I mean, in the beginning, I think it made you want it, and then after a while, you're kind of like, okay, that's enough.
See, I lived at the harbor, so this will be a good way to bring you in,
yeah.
Jeff. When I was a boy, Harbor Place was built in July of 1981.
Yep.
I went down. I fell into the harbor that day. It's a long story. I tell my wife all the time, right over where, like, the Science Center is on the little. I was chasing a crab. I was 10 in the water, right? But I remember going down when I was a very young boy to the harbor when it opened. And McCormick was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the building that's now 414 Light.
Yep.
It became the outdoor scene of my condo for 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
19 years and 3 months we lived at the Inner Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
But the smell of cinnamon in the harbor, people would tell you, the Merchant Marines used to go up the block in the 70s, 60s, 70s. They would tell you that the harbor either smelled like pepper, garlic, or cinnamon, right? Now when you drive up the Hunt Valley, if you've done it enough, you'll be on 83 at Chewan Road, just south of north of Warren.
Yep.
If you don't smell the dump over off Warren Road and the birds, you'll smell cinnamon, garlic, or pepper. You know what I mean? So these, the Old Bay thing, I don't know. It didn't make me want like a cinnamon roll to smell cinnamon. It doesn't make me want like, I don't know. I don't know.
There's just in my head, it was a very distinct smell. You don't realize that it's the combination of like the brown paper bag
burning.
And the Old Bay, not really burning, but activating,
simmering.
And like, yeah, you don't notice that until this huge warehouse is like on fire and it's burning paper and Old Bay, and you're like, oh,
well, listen,
that's exactly what that.
There's
going to
be a point where the stadium thing becomes a really hot issue amongst other people. I'm the only one talking about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like anything about what I'm hearing about it. I know enough about it. I don't want to say I'm an expert, but I'm the closest thing you're going to meet to an expert. And I have some files in my bag for you, too.
Yeah.
In regard to the stadium, that's going to be its own animal, and John Angelos and the money and whatever West is trying to pull off, and they're going to have to go to get all that. Harbor Place is a different animal, right?
Yes.
Okay, so soup to nuts for our audience, Jeff. Tell me what you do, and then we're going to go through what a mess the harbor had become, and I lived down there, and I lost a lot of money, and like all of that. I've talked about that. I'm not interested in any of that, or even what Annie's fried dough was in 1981, or what the Phillips looked like, or what it's going to be is going to be something that is going to be. People need to be open-minded about whatever it was going to be.
Yep.
Last week, it gets dumped down. So give me your background. Tell everybody who you are and what you do.
So I'm a real estate developer, and Site Insight's my company, and I do project management for real estate developers, and I do some investments on my own as well. So I actually have lived in Riverside since 98, and we raised our kids in South Baltimore. We live in Federal Hill now. So I had the unique opportunity where usually I'm going to a community to get up in front of people and let them know, like, why is my apartment community that I want to build in your neighborhood a good idea? Why should you be on board with this? So, twist, now the Inner Harbor is my neighborhood, and I get to wear the community hat. And I relish in the opportunity to get up and speak from a point of understanding what MCB is planning and thinking, the challenges they have. Because one of the myths that I kind of want to debunk and give them the chance,
step back.
If you don't mind.
You're banging on the camera. That's
sorry,
that's
sorry. Folks look at real estate developers as the sole, I guess, pushing force of what's going to be created. That they're just rich and they're just making money and taking advantage. The fact of the matter is,
they're investing.
They are subject to investors and banks. So it's a three-legged stool, so you need to make all three
work.
It
has to make sense.
And so what MCB is, they are the sponsor, they are the visionary, they're the ideas, and they try to get everyone on board to say, hey, this is a good idea to spend my time, money, to then bring everyone along. So when I go to community meetings, I hope that people understand that we have constraints too, but in the end, we want to make something. We want to make a little bit of money, but we also want to leave a mark in a positive way. And I think that gets overshadowed by the controversy, sort of.
Or the concept of greed.
Celebrated.
Yeah.
Not even that, because the returns that the developers are looking for, they have to answer to Wall Street. They have to answer to banks. There's these institutions that you're really beholden to. So don't get me wrong, real estate developers do fine, but it's not like this total, like, you
know,
monopoly.
This isn't easy to
do. Who are the developers that you've heard of or know of, or why do you know about them? You know about them because they show up in the paper, and they either did something amazingly huge or amazingly terrible, one or the other. Those are the only reasons you know of them.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, you've seen a million of these projects, right? Like, you and I, part of Baltimore Positive 5 years ago being here is, I lived there the first 4 years of Baltimore Positive, and I'm wondering when I walk through, you could see that it stopped being cared about when it went into receivership from a, we're not really getting new tenants.
Right.
We're trying to figure out what to do with Cheesecake Factory next, because this isn't going to work. The company in Connecticut, wherever it was never, it was always going to wind up in someone's hands. So this Bramble name pops up about a year and a half, 2 years ago, right? I mean, saw him out at Towson at the the Towson Women's Leadership event about when it got maybe a year and a half ago, and I slid a card. I said, "Hey, maybe sometime." So, David, it's an open invitation. I'd love to ask you, but when it comes on and I see the pictures, my wife mm-hmm. sees it, I see it. I saw it the day before she saw it. She sees it on WBAL.com.
Yep, yep.
I saw what Fox News was doing to it the other night. Maybe it was after a football game. Fox. Right. I never watch Fox News.
No.
And every time I do, I watch the first 5 minutes. And I sit there and I'm like, it's just always the same thing, right?
Yeah.
The first 5 minutes is always crime, bad, investigation, bad. So,
school's in crisis.
So I don't believe any of everything's in crisis. So it all comes out, and all I know, honestly, and I haven't put a lot of, I see the pictures.
Yes.
Right? And that's, and on purpose, because if Bramble showed up today, I didn't want to, like, pour through the 900 units and this and mm-hmm. mixed use and all of that. I wanted to talk more conceptually about the vision of all of it and the space itself, because to his point, the space is a space. It used to be a bunch of rats and warehouses.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys missed this part, but the show began 2 hours ago now. And I said this to Mac. I'm like, all of this crap with the Maryland Stadium Authority that I'm about to roll my sleeves up with the governor and I'm going to get involved in all of this. I want the vision. John Angelos and Steve, anybody, what they got money, 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 money. That space around the stadium's been that space for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they had great ideas there 30 years ago. I'll bring Janet Marie on. She's going to talk about it. She was invited today, too. Governor Schaefer obviously went to, like, Disney World in the 70s and said, we have a harbor. We have all the bones you and I talk about. We have location, location. We have crab cakes. We have institutions. We have business here. We have hospitals. We have all of these things here, colleges, all of that. And he thought, Science Center, aquarium, we're fish. We're going to put a blue wave on the side of it. We're going to make these pavilions places where people are going to come and eat. And they're going to, it's going to be like a mall. It's going to be outside. There's going to be boats. There's going to be mm-hmm. a water taxi. He didn't see Under Armour or any of that coming later, right? But he saw this thing that was ugly.
Yes.
And I saw the picture of him, which when he had hair. It was such a beautiful image. Like maybe 74, 75. He'd just become mayor. He still had hair. And everything down there was grass. It looked like a little golf course, like a putt-putt course. Everything that is the now.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never seen the image of that. But it wasn't image move. It was video. It was video of it empty.
That's cool.
And I saw it maybe on MPT. It's the Governor Schaefer tribute they did a few years ago. My wife and I watched it. And I'm like, look at that. Mayor Schaefer had hair. Look how young he looks. And he's down there, and he's pointing, and there, McCormick Factory's there, and it's nothing. But he had a vision
mm-hmm.
of an aquarium, a science center, a promenade, people, boats, tall ships, using the water as something other than something ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But so
I don't think for a minute, this is not to piss on John Angelos, he doesn't have any ideas. He doesn't have a vision. He doesn't have that. Bramble is a guy who does this, who worked with professionals, and now there is a thing. There's a real vision. Now, whether you buy it or not, I think the questions then become about that vision because it's real now. For the last year and a half, I wouldn't have been able to say, what's it going to look like? I see it, but I want to know why it got to that, and I think that's one of the reasons I brought you today to say, why did he come up with that concept?
So I can't speak for MCB, but they did extensive community outreach, and they surveyed the citywide. He was putting banners on buses. Like, he was getting the world, he was having pop-ups in the pavilions. He was inviting teenage kids to come in. He was getting it a slice and taking all that information, and this is what was shared at Monday's meeting, synthesizing it, and then doing what they need to do, which crunch numbers, come up with concepts and ideas, and he presented what reflected what the surveying said were priorities and what financially could be accomplished. And
because it's not an unlimited amount of money.
No,
right?
But that's how all this works. I'm working on the Baltimore Black Sox project right now. I'm the prime project management on behalf of Parks and People, and we're going through the same thing.
What is that?
It is a park / sort of memorial that we're just starting community outreach for, to come up with a park to memorialize the Negro League Baltimore Black Sox.
So these things just don't happen.
They don't happen.
It's just not one guy's idea to say park.
Right. Someone has an idea, then you start to reach out to the community, you get input, and then you kind of shape this, and then you come up with a concept plan, just like Rash Field. I did the project management for Rash Field.
You did?
Yes. I was working with another company, Real Projectives, at the time. But I managed that for Lori and the Waterfront Partnership, and it was the same thing. You go out to the community, you come up with a plan, and then you come up with a budget, and then you raise your funds. In that case, that's a real estate development project that does not require a return. It requires sort of
use.
So BG&E wanted to be in on that, the state, the city. So it depends on who your end user is. And the thing that David was saying at his meeting, the ground level promenade public area, that's your community experience. That's where you see, that's where you touch and feel. And the apartments on top is the financial engine that makes everything make sense. So that's what
I hadn't heard it explained like that.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I'm like, a guy from Dundalk. I just want to understand it. You know, literally,
so,
right?
So I want to, like, go back. The Schaefer comment, that was a clear decision made around activating that space for tourism purposes, whether it's close tourism or far tourism, either way.
He knew people wanted to be
and
by
then
the
that,
water.
And
right?
then that would make the convention center. We just lost Mac, but that would, and then the baseball stadium came as the next. You know, it was an
industry was changing. It's not a working harbor. People like water. How can I get them down there?
Right. But there was also a discussion that went on somewhere down there that said, you realize the tax base on a working harbor is X.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn it into this, the hope tax is Y. Can we support that? Like, it's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's multiple layers to how you, if you are going to change use, it changes the tax base of the city. This is the most precious piece of real estate in the city. So if you are strictly looking to increase the tax base for the city, what use would you do? I don't know. I'm not in the game enough to be smart enough to understand that.
But it wouldn't be a park.
But
it wouldn't be a park.
It wouldn't be a free park. Sure.
Right.
Totally.
Okay. You know, I've heard that concept, and that's very wonderful and liberal, and I'm a liberal guy, and I, you know, I've had a dear friend of mine on the show pitching it as a park. I'm like, dude, that's great, but that's just not, that's not what we're going to do with it. It's not the way it's going to be.
Nope.
I mean.
Right. So my question is sort of, you know, pre-telling me, like, first floor this and apartment that. I was like, okay, what's the mission, right? It was tourism back then.
Yep.
What is it now? What are trends
in
America?
Well, the John Angelos thing is going to be live, work, play, right? That's going to be, if he ever front faces people, live, work, play, live, work, play. I just, if Bramble were here, I'd say live, work, play. We live there, we work here, we play here, and people come, but from a tourism standpoint, tourists have to come down and want to visit that thing. I think it,
or visitors,
maybe it doesn't need to be tourists anymore.
No, or residents. I have a 18-year-old and I have a 15-year-old. They go to the harbor. One, Polly, his friends come down to the harbor. City kids.
It's where you took every girl you ever wanted to make time with when you were 18.
They still want to go there. The kids want to go there.
It was the boardwalk for Baltimore.
Yes, the kids still want to, the people that live here still want to go there. And they go to Shake Shack and Chick-fil-A a block away because it's a nice storefront, nice building. David's not bringing national chains in, but cool places to hang out, like closer to the water.
Well, when Cornish had a Chipotle in there and, you know, where the Hard Rock is and all that, that whole walking promenade, when I lived downtown, was designed for me to go to Dick's Last Resort or to even grab pizza in one of the stalls in another place.
My wife and I had like our first date at Paolo's in 1994.
With that little olive tapenade? Oh,
yeah, we walked.
Way better than deviled eggs.
So can I tell Paolo's story?
Sure.
So we were leaving Paolo's and I had leftover pizza and I was oblivious and I grabbed a pocket full of like mints, you know, like the red.
Right.
And this homeless person comes up and is like, oh, I'm hungry. Can I have anything? I'm holding the pizza. And I'm like, oh, here, have some mints. And my wife smacks me across the head and says, give him the pizza. So I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, here's the pizza. So, yeah, I mean, great memories down there. But it's dead. It's malls are a thing of the past.
Right.
It's
every memory of my mother taking me down to Phillips and getting Surf and Turf and going to Anna's Fried Dough and walking around Jeppy's comic thing up there. And I mean, even in my marriage, the first 10 years, it was pretty functional in that we would walk over and have lunch at Subway or the pizza shop or, you know, wherever. I mean, Johnny Rockets was, you know, it was a, it was always there was always a reason to go there. It's why we live there.
Exactly.
So you're talking to the guy that 20 years ago invested down there, lost my ass.
Bought your condo,
Yeah, I mean, like literally put $250,000 into my condo, never got it back. 20 years later, took me 3 years to give it away. That's where I'm sitting with Bramble and saying, dude, you're building 900 more. I had one that was nicer than any of them.
Condos, they're apartments.
Well, hold on. This is something we mentioned earlier about activating space. And I think also something that we're learning, like, understand that Baltimore is just like all the other urban centers in America. I mean, all the problems we have, they have. Like
offices that are empty.
It's all,
right.
It's all the same everywhere you go, right? But for tourists to feel... So let me phrase it a different way. Like, what is... Where do people spend more time cleaning up after themselves? In their own backyard or in some public use space?
When no one lives there, they leave trash.
Right. So if and not everybody, right? Like, that's a broad brush. But generally speaking, right, if this is where you live, you will take a different level of interest in the in how it performs, how it looks,
shoveling
how it survives,
the snow.
All of it, everything about it. You want to invite your friends down and it looks like crap, you're going to do something about it because you don't want your friends to come down and see that it looks like crap out front of your house, right? Like, that's what people do. So if we incorporate these concepts, meaning that if we want this space to work for everyone, well, how about a couple people that live right there that are very much interested in always making sure it's okay?
Yeah.
So those are, but people need to hear that because all they hear is apartments. What the hell do we need apartments for?
It's a giveaway. You're giving away this public land. Why do they get? And it gets into the greedy developers.
414 is an apartment complex.
It is,
and that's really, really what put me out of business at living in Harbor Court because we didn't have a pool. We didn't have a common space. All of these elbow rubs.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to be involved in the government and paying taxes and paying condo fees, which were a lot of money because we had a beautiful staff. They all needed to be, you know, at Dorman. I had all of that in my life. You know, it was the Jeffersons, you know, where I lived for 19 years. So I overpaid for part of that, and then no one wanted to overpay because they could live next door in a building that was 30 years newer with all of that fire pits out in front and a pool and all that. My wife and I would sit there and look at the pool and we're like, we're paying $2,000 more a month. We're stuck here. We're having it rammed up our backside. The city shut down and these people are at the pool over here. You know, how do I get that gig? You know? Right. But then I walked into the apartment and the apartment was like, you know, you and I'd be like this. We'd be doing the show like this. And I'm like, well, maybe our condo's not so bad. Right. But Jeff Ratno's here. He does land things. Bill Cole is here. He eats deviled eggs and does roofs at Cole Roofing as well as Accordion Energy and doing solar. He's my Kemosabe who... Is your role to keep me in line? Are you like sort of my Ed McMahon on these things? What are you?
I'm just the only one with enough courage to like give you the hard time that you deserve on a regular basis.
And pays me to do it, I might add, as a sponsor. So you see this last week, Jeff. You're a resident.
Yep.
You're a community activist, which is good.
So I was president of my neighborhood association before kids, and I had to be the spokesperson of developers coming in. So I've seen it three ways. So it's
you're
really
used to being yelled at, is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Okay. Ed Hale gave me two pieces of advice. I didn't listen to either one of them, and I want to give him some love. He said, never have partners. You never want partners. That's the first thing. And that's no disrespect to Brian or anybody else, but just in a general sense, you never want partners. The other thing he said, never, ever sit on the chair of your condo association.
No.
Never, ever.
That's thankless. That's thankless.
Those were the two things that Ed... So anybody knows Ed, tell him I said that. All right, so you've been on this for years, right? Okay. You were a part, which I did not know, of Building Rashfield. I was there the night it opened, and we're like, skate park.
It's awesome.
I'm like, I'm not going to use it, but like, it's not for me, and I hope that it's used in the right way.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's better than a carousel that nobody was using, and the place up there, everybody was sitting, smoke weed, and, you know, like, it's a better thing, right? So I've been down there in a couple years, 2 years since I lived there, but I felt good about it, and I felt, listen, dude, I felt good about every, and I never told anybody with the waterfront people, they never came on the show or anything. My wife and I walked through the harbor every day of our lives for 20 years. We did not leave the city because of crime, because of the harbor, because we didn't believe in it. We left because my wife wanted to have literally an outdoor grill and plants because we had no ability to do that in the sky.
Nope.
We had no deck. We had no... So after 19 years, my wife wanted a window that opened bigger than this.
Yeah.
So like literally, we looked all over the city to live here, but all the apartments were like, I guess what Bramble's going to build, something that's going to be a little more smaller for, like, you know, a single nurse living downtown, or a couple that doesn't have a lot, need space, or yep. do with a radio show, or work from home, which my wife does now, so that's created a difference. Mm-hmm. So for 2 years, I've been gone, but if I were there, I would be really interested in this in the way I was interested in 414.
Oh, yeah.
So you're interested, and I'm interested now as a citizen, same way we're all interested. Hey, I want to go down there and live, work, and play. Maybe it'll be the place I move when I'm done, right? Because I love the city. You see it last week. Is it the first time you see it is when everybody in the media saw it?
So the first time I took a closer look, I was too impatient to watch the five-minute video. I should have. It changed. At first, I'm like, oh, this is a nice plan, like tall buildings from, you know, 5,000 feet. But he has got a video where it kind of walks you through 3D, your experience on Pratt Street. And this one comment this one woman made.
That's the first thing you say to everybody. Watch that video. Is the first thing?
Like, just take the time. Watch the video.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do.
So this one woman said, why are you putting a park? Like, this is how good it's going to be. Why are you putting a park behind that sail building? The park belongs on the water side. And David's like, what park? What are you talking about? There's no park. She's like, I saw on a slide. And they flip through like, oh, that's Pratt Street. Like, the rendering of Pratt Street, she thought it was a park. So that just, like, think about what Pratt Street could look like versus what it is today. Seven lanes of traffic, right? And recycling from the harbor, you know, like the recycling bins and the back of house. So even the renderings show, like, oh, I thought this was a park, but it's not even a park. Right. So it's, I don't know, you see that video.
What's the biggest complaint? Other than
traffic.
Greed and
so they're
traffic.
They're going to close the spur. Right. And to me, I worked in Fells Point for 9 years, and I biked to work every day because traffic was bad back then, too.
Right.
I'm like,
oh, if I'm in Little Italy trying to get home in 2006, if like when the new Whole Foods, I would walk.
Yep.
It was quicker. It was just quicker to walk.
So he's taking the dog leg away and making a T intersection reduced so it was traffic. But then we have to make a choice. Like, do we want to have pedestrian, bike-friendly, safe over there? Or do we want Pratt Street, the most valuable real estate in the whole city, to be a glorified freeway?
Right.
Cars will find their ways other ways. It's highest and best use.
Like, so this would do away with Pratt Street as a main artery for traffic?
So if you're going...
As a way to get from the hospital to Fells Point.
Right, so when you're going north on Light, you know, it turns off onto Pratt Street. That's gone. And everything now becomes a T intersection at Pratt and Light, where that confluence
Well, I would complain about that. I would think that that probably would be a little lumpy.
Yep. So to me,
it was always lumpy in front of the Hyatt where I live because of the right turn going to... But I'm talking about lumpy like accidents.
Okay,
like
hold
people
on.
That don't know how to navigate.
But it's not his job to fix mistakes of the past, right? Because the mistake of the past is the fact that 83 empties
on President Street.
And you have to go from 395 over, navigate, down Conway, up Light,
over Pratt. If they did it
right,
they would have built a tunnel under the city at 83 to feed out of the stadium. But there's already a tunnel there. It's called it's the train tunnel that caught on fire on O'Malley, right? So,
but even then, the answer to the folks that complain about traffic is everyone has their own priorities.
Right.
Me, personally, we just need more people that value pedestrian safety, bike safety, and this grand plan of a beautiful park and plaza over the people in the cars that have to spend an extra 5 minutes in traffic. That's the choice, and we're going to be presented with that choice when the referendum is presented.
So give me
to
the referendum. So what happens here? Give me the
bills,
laws and the rules.
There's three bills going through city council right now.
I don't know any of this. This is good.
Yeah.
This is
ask good. For, and again, I'm going to botch this. Eric Costello did a fantastic job.
I invited Eric today. He couldn't make it.
Yep. So Eric did a great job. He's like, this bill, these companions, there's three of them, I believe. They need to make their way through the city council. In February is when it should come to
a
resolution.
Right.
And then the resolution's going to result in the law, and I'm botching this up, it's going to be on a referendum in November. So it needs to get through.
So there's no shovel in the dirt until The citizens agree, right?
Yep.
I did not really know that. I thought he could kind of do whatever he wanted.
The citizens get another 3 months to even shape these bills.
There's not a shovel in the dirt until 26.
See, this is when you bring a roofing guy in. And that's stuff. Because the roofing's the last thing that
happens.
That's
a wild guess, but like 26.
We're a long way out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I hate to hear that. Because it felt like the CFP Bank Arena happened quickly.
But
it felt like Rash Field happened quickly.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. They'll do stuff. They'll do stuff so you know things are happening. Yep. Like you'll see. You'll feel it sooner than that.
But you say
that.
It won't start till 26. When's it end? 28?
Yeah.
No?
Nah.
That's a big, long
I mean, that's a
project.
Huge...
See,
yeah,
I'm dumb. I'm dumb.
That's
I thought, oh, my
that's
God, 2 summers from now, this
that's
will be done.
That's a decade or more.
Oh, wow. This is way long,
it's
way
a
longer game,
it's
than
a total,
I thought.
Yep. It's changing the most precious piece of real estate in your city. It should take 10 years.
Yeah, do it right.
You know what I mean? Like, it should. We we need everybody to buy in.
So when I'm 65 and I'm done with the suburbs and I want to come back down.
Come on down.
Yeah.
That's that's going to keep me alive. I mean, I swear to God, like, if I knew that 10 years from now that's there and available and functioning in a really positive, beautiful way, the way we would envision whatever the glory period of our lives in Baltimore were. You know, Camden Yards opening, I moved downtown in 03. Times when we felt prosperity for the city, whatever that would mean.
Yep.
That's a beautiful vision then. 10 years doesn't seem that far, but it does seem like, my God, that's a long west.
I think the other part to your point of like, how do you communicate up to that referendum vote to make sure things go the way you want. Everyone comes at it from their own perspective, right? And the project has to answer all of those specific questions. So if a person's number one concern is public safety, he needs to have a, 90-second video that says, hey, if your number one concern is public safety, here's how our project's going to help with that. If your number one concern is tourism, here's how our project helps with that. If your number one concern is
public space,
whatever, whatever that thing is, because it's all the same issues, I mean, it's always the same stuff.
Always the same.
And for each person, they prioritize stuff differently, and that's cool. That's how you get really good end results.
Is to fight a little bit.
You take all these different perspectives that all these people come from, and you try, and you're never going to make everybody happy, but you really try and thread that needle. That's why, like, don't ever underestimate how hard it is to do what they do. Like, they're trying to thread a needle of, he talked a lot about the financing side and all their requirements, but it's also that community. Like,
this was the respect I had
don't
for it last
do stuff.
Week when it came out. I'm like, I don't want to bitch about it, complain about it. I want to learn about
it. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it feels like it may take me months to learn about it before I say I like that or don't like that. That's exactly what I would want if I was still voting in the city.
Yeah.
Right? If I were coming to your meetings at Federal Hill because I still invested the 500 grand into it and my future, I would want a say, even if it wasn't heard, right? It's kind of like my radio show. No one listens to
me. I mean, if there's anything, he is listening. Like, sometimes I wonder if he's not listening too much, right? Like, there's death by, like, a million ideas, too. So, but...
Well, we got a baseball and we're not listening to anything. So
I just want
to... There's two sides to it, really. You know what I mean? Really?
Well, Monday's meeting was the first public meeting. Right, the announcement was made last week.
Was it raucous, or was it angry, or was it no?
It was well run. It was at the National Federation of the Blind, which is a nice conference area. And Eric was smart. He said,
"I'm still on his mailer. He still thinks I live it." So I got invited. Yep. I did see it. Yeah.
He said, "Here, fill out a note card with your question." He said, "I'm going to read the questions," and someone in the audience is like, "I want to read it." He's like, "There's too many people," and that avoids this back and forth kind of, fighting,
and you're reading the question.
Form.
It's not animosity.
One of the questions, like, what are you going to, like, will this make traffic worse? And this is what I loved about David at this meeting. He's like, probably. Right? But you need to make a choice.
Right.
Are the people driving, no offense to my suburban friends, down 83 to get across to the baseball stadium? Do they carry more weight in their traffic
a new way to do things,
versus,
though, right?
This thing for the citizens?
Look, it really is like almost this death spiral that I get worried about. So, yes, I don't believe that suburban in-flight should take precedence to residents, right?
Yep.
It can't be that way. But what my fear is that as
I ain't going down there. It's a pain in the ass.
But that's what's going to change.
Right.
So when you move people in there, And public safety loses such the bad shine that it has, and people start to get safe, and they
so
feel
overblown.
Right, they feel more comfortable. Say the Orioles go on a 10-year good run, you know, like as that traffic from suburbia picks up, and we're restricting it more. Now we have a different problem. And it's the same thing that's happened in Charleston. It's the same thing that's happened in Nashville.
Like, traffic in Nashville is insane.
You do these things, all of a sudden you get the outcome you're looking for.
You put 10,000 people in
and
the
then
five
you're
blocks
like,
and didn't live, and they got to get to the ground.
Why is there all this traffic? Yeah. What do we do about the traffic?
We got to end this thing. Damie, you want to come over and end this thing? Because I always end with shrimp salad. And I usually try to get Damien here and find out like when she's really moving into the other market. And I'm going to tell her I don't even believe
she's
ever going.
All the time. Yeah,
I think
right.
she's staying here. I'm not, she is going to get over there.
Next door. But, I keep talking about.
But we're at Fadley's. Jeff Ratno, tell everybody how to find you other than being your LinkedIn friend. And I didn't realize you were such a South Baltimore community activist in the way you are.
Oh yeah, I love.
What's the name of the association? Is it Federal Hill?
It was Riverside. We moved 2 years ago to a bigger house in Federal Hill, South. Just Google me. Only like 8 people on Earth have the name Ratnow. It's my nuclear family. So Jeff Ratnow.
You know all of those.
Yeah, my mom, my dad, my wife, and our kids, and my niece and nephew. No, there's probably about 30 of us. So yeah, no, Nestor, thank you for giving me a chance to talk to your listeners, to you about
this. I don't get the chance to talk about it.
I really, really appreciate it.
You're putting your headset on. Davey's here. Okay. Bill's giving up the headset because I didn't plug the fourth headset in because I didn't even know. All right, so. Tell everybody what's going on for the holidays here, and when are you getting in the other building? Because that's we're doing Baltimore Positive here. You know Jeff? There's Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Nice Damien.
Good to see you again.
Her mom's famous.
Ooh.
She does all the work, but her mom's famous. Uh-huh. I'm just kidding.
Mom's worked for many, many years.
Listen,
she still comes in at 87 years old. She's still here on Friday
and
Saturday.
I came in here Christmas time 3 years ago during a plague, and they had boxes to the ceiling. Nobody could come in here. They're curbsiding, and she's got Oriole pitchers in here. Shoving stuff. Bruce Zimmerman's here shoving stuff into boxes.
That's right.
And, like, you know, you're such a... I didn't find out she was a baseball mom until, like, 6 months ago. I didn't know that. Navy baseball mom right here.
That's
awesome. Yep. So my son played at the academy from 2000...
You're going
to
make him send out mail order during Christmas? December 20th, does his life end? Not anymore?
No, not anymore.
Oh,
not anymore.
Right.
But
that
I used to have them all in. I used to have them all in here, you know, stuffing boxes. And and Bruce, he's delightful. He's friends with my youngest son. So I've fed Bruce many a meal.
Pride of Ellicott City right there.
Yep. And he comes in if he has time. He'll come in and, you know, stuff some boxes for me. So it's
what
wonderful.
What makes it so good?
What makes that so good?
Yeah, it's just shrimp salad.
Don't tell them. Don't tell
them. It's all that. It's all that stuff that's in a deviled egg.
He wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
Suddenly, I still like it.
I know you do. That's your crab cake over there.
Oh my God!
What's going on?
So what's going on?
Gainesville, and then down here.
Yes. So what's going on is. Down here, we should be in by January. So they are building our stall.
Hello, is this the last time I'm here? No?
If you come again before Christmas,
all right. All right,
because we're talking about beginning of January being maybe closed for a week, the first week of January, moving over all our signs and then up and running. So we're hoping to be in the new space.
Well, my holiday calendar is getting filled up, so you better hurry. Not dance card, you know.
You better come in one more time over Christmas.
So, you got shrimp salad here?
We'll have shrimp salad. We'll have that shrimp salad.
Here.
We're going to have everything that we ship. So we ship those wonderful crab cakes. We ship our crab cakes fresh. We're the only ones that don't freeze them. So this is not frozen. They are made to order. Mm. And every single one is handmade
and put
into a box.
That looks like just the one I ate a minute ago.
Just like it. So we put them in these packages, and they arrive fresh overnight, UPS Air Express. And
ship right out of here.
Ship right out of here. All made to order. So it's not like we're stockpiling for Christmas.
So if you're watching from far away, you don't have to get on a plane. You don't even have to drive down here. If you hate the traffic, right?
That's right.
You don't come down.
That's right.
You watch all that stuff on the news. Just order it, and it's fine. You'll get it. Same crab cake, right?
You can get the Maryland crab soup. We got the crab balls. We can do a whole dinner with the coleslaw and the mac and cheese and everything else, and throw it all in the
mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Tell
you like,
is your wife?
Yeah.
Don't sleep on a mac and cheese here. Get the mac and cheese. It's good.
Yeah.
Shrimp salad, mac and cheese. I wouldn't eat those deviled eggs, but that's just me. I mean, I wouldn't eat any deviled egg.
Hey, just like Harbor Place, it doesn't offer everything to everyone.
It's pretty good, though.
That you like that?
She's
got
fresh fish.
Hey,
well,
we even fresh shuck the oysters. You know me. I love the oysters. They're so important to the Chesapeake Bay. So we'll fresh shuck a dozen oysters for you. You can get the oysters in the shell. We're shipping there. We're adding those to our Gold Belly menu this next month. And so anyway, we put them in these insulated boxes, and we will Christmas week and New Year's week, we'll probably send out, we'll have to make 10,000.
That's just Billick's order alone, because Billick gets him from here every year.
He does.
He does. That's so cool.
He ships me, wonderful. Oh, I got that customer. Mustard in there. It's delicious. He's out in Ohio, Columbus, where they have conventions we don't get. The last thing for you, just in people coming here and being a part of it, and this is not to kiss your butt or whatever, but every time I'm in here, people, I see them come through the door, and they'll see me and my sign and my little goofy setup. But then I see them, like this fellow over here in purple, I'm watching him over here. They get food, and they get real happy. You know what I mean?
We love it.
I mean, people come here hungry, and that's great. But there is something, and it's a price point issue for sure, because it's not $5 to come in here. It's not a happy meal.
Well, there's
meal.
A $5. You can get
no,
a potty.
No, but it's not a happy
you can
meal.
You can get a salad.
I thought he was trying to help you.
What I'm saying is it's a special. It's something special.
We have something for everybody.
No, but it's something. It's special.
Yes,
when
it
you
is
come
special.
To fair, that's what I mean. Like,
yes.
People are very intentional.
Yep.
They know they're coming. They look forward to it. If they've never been because they've seen you on Andrew Zimmern or whatever, or Guy Fieri, whatever, whoever's been here, every celebrity's Today Show.
All the food shows.
Yeah, your mom's sitting over there mixing up all of that. So they're either looking forward to that for the first time.
Right.
Or they're like, I remember what it tastes like last time. And the weird thing is if they come now, the market that they're used to, that's gone. So
a
lot of them come.
I know, and a lot of
and
people
they're
are
like,
sad
oh,
about that.
What happened? And then you send them over, and you're like, it's everything Jeff and I have talked about. Yeah, it ain't the Harbor no more. It doesn't look the same as it did in 84 when I was here.
Yep.
Well, there's been an investment made here, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the thing we talked to Mac about. They've invested, and you've invested your whole life, your family's life, your grandparents' life.
Yep.
You're about to make this big
change.
Emotional.
Change.
Yeah,
yes.
This emotional like thing.
We're doing it because we do believe in Baltimore. You know, we're one of the people that haven't left.
You built Baltimore.
You know,
your
we a lot of people left. You know, and or their next generation isn't interested. So, I'm fourth generation. My son is fifth generation. My son is the one that's going to be opening up in Catonsville. So, I'll be out there.
I thought it was a daughter. The daughter, fishmonger's daughter.
I'm the fishmonger's
daughter. I know, but that's
my mother.
And you said your boy. What's he? The fishmonger's daughter's son. Is that right?
He's the son of the daughter.
I'm just seeing what we're going to name the restaurant later. What's the third name?
It's
going to be the fishmonger's daughter, right?
Right. It is going to be the Fadley's the fishmonger's daughter.
I didn't even know what a fishmonger was like 2 years ago. I had to learn what monger meant.
It's a Seattle thing where they throw the fish. Is that a fishmonger?
No, actually, it's English. So in England, there's a huge fishmonger's club, and it looks like the New York Yacht Club. I mean, it's spectacular. It is unbelievable. But, you know, fishing is a huge industry in those islands of Ireland and England. And so it's a huge staple, and they send their fish all over the world. So being a fishmonger came, from the settlers that came from England and Ireland.
This segment's going to last as long as this shrimp salad does for me. So, I mean, it's just really, really good. So you think January?
I think January over here in Lexington Market, and we have not gotten our final permit sign off, but we're close for Catonsville. So it's been with Baltimore County permits.
Johnny O, come on, man! Come on, man! Trying to bring Fadley to the county. Come on!
But we're trying to get the permit signed off, and as soon as those permits are signed off, we are hitting the ground running.
Awesome.
In Catonsville. So we'll have an event space.
He knows I'm blaming him for everything because that's part of our shtick.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Okay. All right. Well, you can blame him
for this.
Say, come on now. Let's. Well, a lot of the older guys in permits
it's
retired
hard.
During
and they
COVID.
Switched the electronic system, and it's been hard.
And so, so they're all the new guys are like looking through a book, trying to make sure everything's correct.
Yep.
So, we'll get there. It's going to be a gorgeous building.
Every time I drive by, I'm
space.
Like, the future, it'll happen. It's like driving by the harbor, it'll happen. Yeah. It'll happen. It'll
happen. It's another investment in a very old building. The building's 100 years old. Finding
all the surprises.
All the surprises.
You need to get that up so I can have my retirement dinner there. How about that?
Well, you hopefully you're not retiring next
year. Yeah, the next 2 weeks.
Hopefully not that soon.
Damien's here. You know? She's usually here. We're on the Packer Street side. The new market is about 100 yards to the south of us. Come on by. I mean, I got crab cakes. I got shrimp salad. It's been a beautiful day. They even brought
fresh
deviled
fish,
eggs.
Oysters.
The deviled eggs made somebody happy. It wasn't me. I'm glad. It's fine.
Yep. Got all
my
the local
mother
fish.
Loved deviled eggs. So, like, she'd say, you know what she'd say to me? You don't know what's good. That's more
That's
for
right.
me. That's more
right.
for me.
That's
is what
right.
she would say.
That's right.
And I'm like, Mom.
All the more for me.
You can have that, the radishes, the beets, all the stuff I don't eat. You can have that. You know, liver and onions. My
That's
mom.
Gross.
You know, I your mother and father are beautiful and they're alive and well. And I lost my mom 5 years ago. I visited my mom's hometown about 2 weeks ago down in South Carolina, Abbeville, South Carolina. Man, I had a day. I gained 10 pounds. Everything in the South comes with mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Right.
And hush puppies.
Right.
Well, I don't eat those either. They're right where the deviled eggs are for me. I've never met a hush puppy I don't like. I mean,
the
dog
only
chews,
thing,
yes.
The only thing I can't eat in the South is a boiled peanut.
Oh,
don't
I love
you give
those.
Me a
oh,
peanut.
I went to a gas station in my mom, the town my mom was born in.
Oh, yeah, side of the road.
And here's the thing. It's called Walt's Gas Station. I remember my Aunt Eleanor gassing up there. And it's this old time, and it's built out now, and it's owned by Indian folks. And I went in, everybody in there, it's an Indian family, it's in middle South Carolina, they're clearly not from around there. And they had Indian food, and they had hot dogs, and they had barbecue, they had the things that Walt would have had. I went in to pee, because I had to pee, I was on the side
that
of the
happens.
I went in, and I went into the men's room, I was so glad I peed there. I went in, it was like your place a little bit, everything was a picture of the history of the gas station that I went to when I was 8 years old. And I went out, and the nice Indian folks are there, and I was looking, you know, it's a convenience store now. It's like a little Rofo. It's just 100 kinds of drinks. There's beer because it's the South. But I got up to the counter. I wanted to buy something, so I bought an energy drink.
Yeah.
And I was a little hydration. And I went up, and they had boiled peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, the boiled peanuts, they're always the same. They haven't changed. And I'm like, I never liked boiled peanuts.
Right.
But I was going to give him a couple bucks and just like, you know. But the place had boiled peanuts, swear to God. And then my cousin said to me, hey, when you're down there, get some boiled peanuts. They're in season. And I'm like, nah, that's all
I'll
right.
I'll be eating them Thanksgiving. My mom makes them every Thanksgiving.
Really?
I go back home to New York. She grew up in Savannah. So she have a big, giant pot of boiled peanuts. So
see, my mother was Southern, but never made me eat that around the house.
They're like
mushy
beans to me.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a boiled peanut
fan. It's an acquired taste.
I think it's probably the only thing I have ever spit out.
What do you think? You don't like them, do you? No, my wife doesn't like them.
Well, we're talking about all the things we don't like. I know what we do love. We love the Fadley's crab cake.
That's right.
We're here at Fadley's. We're Lexington Market. It is all brought to you by
Order all your gifts.
Yeah.
Order ahead,
please. The easiest way to do it is just go to Fadley's Seafood, right? That's it?
Yes. Fadley's Seafood. Fadley'sCrabCakes.com.
Fadley's Crab Cakes.
And order ahead because we do run out of crab meat. We always run out of the Maryland crab meat.
She turned Oprah down one time. It's kind of famous.
Actually
take
three
care
times.
Of your customer. First
because
come,
we,
first serve.
We didn't want to use non-Maryland meat, and if you spread it out that thin, we're not going to have it for the regular customers.
Yep.
And my father kept saying, wait until June. We'll do, or you know, do a Father's Day one. Why don't you, instead of Christmas? And no, they wanted to put it on their Christmas, you know, their Christmas list or whatever.
Yep.
And we're like, wait a minute.
She's got crab cakes for you, though. Make sure if you order the crab cakes,
absolutely.
It's imperative.
Everybody in Baltimore can have a crab
cake. You can consider the deviled eggs. It's an acquired taste, but get the mac and cheese because it's delicious. Okay. It's all brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery. We'll be giving these away. I have not found a $100 winner yet. We had a $100 winner here on opening day.
Not bad.
Opening day was nuts here this year because they moved it a day. But we're here. I am going to come back before we leave. This can't be the end.
This
I'll
can't
cry.
Be the end.
I'll cry. So when you get your new date, let me know, and then I'll get in here within a week or so. We'll just call an emergency goodbye, Maryland. I mean, you don't want to hear that. You'll start to cry. But an emergency farewell.
I know.
To this.
And they're telling me the 29th of December is
all right, listen.
That's the delivery of the new one.
Maybe,
I know.
Maybe.
Well, we'll be here. We'll be here all the way till New Year's Eve. So
all right,
we're going to
be
here.
Well, maybe I come in like a couple days after Christmas. We'll eat some leftover, get some eggnog, do something like that. And maybe mom and dad.
Some muskrat.
I'll bring you some boiled
peanuts. Here's what. For your old man, who's part hillbilly, we all know. Only hillbilly from Kansas I ever met, her dad. So muskrat, all the things you have. I have raccoons in my tree every day. Don't tell me we're going to eat them.
No,
right?
We're not going to eat any raccoons.
Okay, so here's what I want. The day when your dad comes, I will eat anything I'll even eat part of deviled egg, all right? So I will try things. If we drag your dad and mom down and we mic them up and your dad picks on me and makes good radio, I don't know that I'll eat muskrat, but I'll eat something I shouldn't eat. I'll do man against food.
All right. Okay, man versus food, yeah. So
wussy versus food is what it is.
You
Dundalk wimp versus
You were
food.
Talking about when you first started this Baltimore Positive.
Right.
5 years ago. And I just lost my train of thought.
Well, you wanted to know how it happened.
But I told
the story that it was a Tony Robbins firewalk. And that wasn't the fire. I did the firewalk at the convention center many years ago. I did a couple of those. Tony Robbins Tony Robbins.
Right.
So I've been a devotee, but not a cultist since 1992 or 93. I did my first firewalk the week before the baseball strike in 1994. And I promise you, that was the week that changed my life. Like, that week changed my life for my business and what I wanted to become. The Ravens came to town a year later. Baseball went on strike, and I went through hard times with a new business and a 12-year-old boy. And, like, that's in the 90s, 30 years ago. So I've been a Robbins guy forever. And sometimes I refer back to my original writings of limiting beliefs and things that... And what I built a radio station for 25 years. I'm very proud of what I've done. But, like, all of that was rooted in that. So throughout my life, Robbins has sort of come into my life in weird ways. So I was in the locker room at the Caps when the Caps won the Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Finals. And I'm down in the locker room, and there's Tony Robbins. And I looked at him, and I said, "You changed my life."
That's awesome.
He says, "Tell me how you changed your life." I said, "Well, my wife did a firewalk back in 2004 with you down in Orlando. And when my wife got cancer in the hotel, the hospital, over at Hopkins, doctor comes in and says, you have leukemia, you have the worst kind of leukemia you could have." And they were in there for an hour, and the door shut, and the doctors left. My wife and I are just there alone, and we're like... And she said to me, "I guess that effing firewalk's going to come in handy, huh?"
Yeah.
That's what she said to me. And then she fought for her life and lived and did her thing. So I run into Tony Robbins in 2018. It was June of 18. And I told him that story. He's like, "You got to come to Date with Destiny. You got to be my guest. Give me your card." So I gave him I gave it to him because he's 6'7". Yeah. And he gave me a hug. And the next day he called me. He's like, "You're coming to Date with Destiny. You got to come down to West Palm Beach. You got to be..." And I'm like... "Whatever you say, dude. I'm there.
Yeah.
You're my guest. Set it up. You're VIP. You're coming down. We're gonna work with your wife." I'm like, "Okay." So we went down. It was the week that the Ravens played the Chiefs in that ninja game that Mahomes threw that crazy pass and beat us.
Yeah.
The year that Flacco got hurt. It wasn't 19. It was 18. Yep. So it was 5 years ago. It was December. First week of December. December 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th that week. 6 days, six nights, all in, locked in with Robbins, 20 hours a day. Sleeping very little. It's all very...
Intense.
A serious thing, right? It's an intense thing. So I went out into this park in West Palm Beach next to the convention center, which is why Mac was involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I had the greatest inspiration at a convention hall outside in this park. We went out to do this mantra thing, and we had team building and limiting beliefs and goals and writing what you want to do with the rest of your life. It was in that park that I conceived Baltimore Positive. And I came home and I enacted it. And you were one of my first calls. Dom was finishing up with government. It was December, January 18 into 19, before there was any plague. We were here doing shows with you March or April of 19, right? So it's been 4.5 years that we've been doing this together here at Fadley's. About 2 years ago, I wound up in West Palm. And I wanted to pay tribute to the place where Baltimore Positive was birthed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was broad daylight, 90 degrees. I'm in shorts. Wasn't winter. I went and parked the car, and I walked to the park next to the convention center. It's right there at 95. There's a Marriott. It's right on 95. And I walked to the park, and the first thing I saw was a sign. It says, "Alligators, do not enter." So I said, my whole concept, had I known the alligator sign was there, I would have been fearful to even go into that garden. But it was there where the alligators were that you confront your fears. So,
you know,
Baltimore Positive, 5 years into Baltimore Positive. Mm-hmm. So did I do a good job with that?
Great.
Yes. But I just did want to say, when my dad, when he had told me about this, I turned to my dad. I went up and I said, "Listen, Nestor Aparicio wants to do this Baltimore Positive show."
Oh, God.
And he wants to air it from here. And we're going to, you know, do it once a month. And my father says, that guy that talks too much.
And you know what I said? Well, at least he's heard of me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
No one listens, but everybody here. Chef Ratneau, tell me what you do and how people can be helpful with you in South Baltimore.
So I help nonprofits that want to do real estate development because it's mission-based. I focus on Baltimore City. I do affordable housing. So I do project management for real estate development companies. So, and I love Baltimore. If it's a Baltimore City project, I just love it just a little bit more.
Well, you were really outspoken about the harbor and it being like, hey, give it a chance.
And I thought, always
that's
positive.
What I want to have on. You know,
it's
always informed,
it's so
you know?
Easy to criticize the city, but there's so many good things happening. And, I mean, we're here to stay. I love it here. And
well, so she.
And the built environment and doing real estate development is an amazing way to leave lasting positive, you know, legacies of uses and interacting with people and places. And I get to play in the best, most fun sandbox in the whole entire world.
He bummed me out a little bit. He and Cole were like, this is going to take 10 years. I'm like, no. I want to go down
next
month.
No, we'll see it in phases.
You're
going to
see,
things
as they come along. Like the market.
How long
I mean,
did that?
It's beautiful.
Well, they were dreaming that since you were a teenager, right? Like literally, right?
No, it's probably realistically close to 10 years. But, you know, the first design that came through was awful.
Well, this building had outlived its safety and usefulness.
Well, it was either they were going to invest in this or they weren't. So, you know, were you gonna go all in on this building? And what they came back with is, well, we're gonna have to close it for 2 years. And my father's like, if we have to close for 2 years, we're not coming back. You know,
right.
So you know, you can't do that to all these merchants and
right.
all the people, because once the people leave,
they
find
back.
Somewhere else to go.
Yeah.
So you find somewhere else to shop.
Yep.
So you can't disrupt that.
No.
So he said, what are you doing with the parking lot next door? You should be tearing that crap off here and putting it on the parking lot.
Exactly.
Which is exactly what they did.
Exactly.
Oh, so they used Bill's idea. See, you know, the idea of people.
Yep.
Give it to a guy from Kansas who, you know, he's seen everything.
Well, it's a business perspective. So from city government, it's like, we can shut this down and reopen it. Well, no. Once people go away, it's
mm-hmm.
really difficult to get them back.
Yeah.
You know, even in Harbor Place.
Yep.
You know, that's one of the
problems.
Well,
the new building's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something you're going to be proud of to be in there,
yep.
of course.
Absolutely. And the infrastructure is new. So what we fight
yep.
with here is, you know, 70-year-old pipes.
Yep.
Right.
You know, and at some point, they start to give way. And how many patches can you make?
Right.
You
mm-hmm.
know, so you either have to redo it all. You know,
you're
going to
be a better business over there. You're going to be able to run your business better over there because of the infrastructure.
Equipment will be new.
Right.
Like,
and you get to pick it. Everything in here didn't get picked. It just happened.
Exactly.
This was just a vision one day. And Dad said, let's do it. Then,
built it in the garage.
With it. Yeah. Now it's in the way. Or whatever. Can't get power to it or whatever it is.
So,
all right. I got to break this off because you're getting busy. I have crab cake tour stuff. I have Maryland Lottery tickets to give away. Damie's still going to be here serving, shipping crab cakes.
Absolutely.
Shucking oysters, selling you fish. Talking to you, and Mom's going to be in the window mixing it up on Saturday morning. Jeff's going to be in South Baltimore, and I'm going to be
forever.
Doing Maryland Crab Cake Tour almost everywhere. It's brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, the fun folks at Window Nation to give me the 866-90 Nation wacky hat, and our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare as well. I got my oil change last week, so that was good. Did I cover everything? We're good?
Yep. You did good.
Oh, come get your oysters for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Ah, that's it.
I was going to do the oyster tour this year.
I know.
I'm going to do the oyster tour next year.
He almost stopped talking. You proved your dad right.
We are WNST, AM 1570. Well, you know what makes you stop talking? Eating the shrimp salad.
There
Back for more Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.